In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's been a long time since we've been here, right? It's been a real long time. It's good to be back in Borica. It takes a little bit longer than I thought to get here, so I apologize that we started late. But I want to go ahead and blame Fabian, even though he had nothing to do with it. He was relying on me today. But before I get further, Fabian wanted me to point something out to you. So if you didn't know this, but as we were driving up and sitting in the car, we noticed that the corner of the roof, the tin roof, is beginning to come off right there. And so we need to address that so that the beauty of this church may be preserved not just for the next couple of days or years, but so that long from now, that this beautiful church, which has stood for so long already, may be well preserved from all the elements which do all sorts of havoc on things which are little things quickly begin to be big things. George, it's good that you're here. And Joyce, thanks for bringing him. And Stephanie, thanks for making sure everybody got here as well. And so it's important that we be mindful of Diana today. We just laid her to rest on Wednesday. And to remember that that even within this Mass, just as we talked about at our funeral Mass, that the closest you'll ever be to those who have passed on in Christ is when you're at Mass. Because though her body is there at St. Joseph's in Santa Rosa, we know that her soul is held within God. And that this Mass has an effect for her, so too as we pray for her. Within our gospel reading, I think it's really appropriate right now for us to be dwelling upon these particular things. What are we praying for right now? Praying for lots of things. Ms. Brazell knows what it is. Praying for rain. Praying for rain specifically at this time. Why? Because we have no rain. Because it's been a long time since we've had rain, and even just a little bit, there's plenty of room. You can come in, there's plenty of room to file in here. We're praying for rain right now. And we're going to conclude this Mass with a prayer for rain, the one that we've been praying for the past month plus, asking for rain. And in Santa Rosa yesterday, we got a little bit of rain, but it came down real hard and furious for about 3 seconds, and then it stopped. It's good not to have rain when we're going to process around the church for that moment, but we'll take it whenever it comes. And that's what our Lord is speaking about here within the Gospel right here. I don't know if you paid attention to those words or saw what it is that was spoken about there, tried to emphasize each particular phrase and word so that it would drive into our souls here. The Gospel of Matthew, our Lord is speaking here from His Great Sermon on the Mount. The Great Sermon on the Mount, He covers so many various aspects of what you and I are to be focused upon in life in Christ. He begins by saying, well, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one or love the other. Either he will be devoted to one or despise the other, because no man can serve both God and mammon, meaning filthy lucre, meaning the desire for greed and to have everything it is that we can have within this life, thinking that somehow is going to fill us. It's not. And then he goes on to help break that down, what it really means. The whole point of what he's discussing here in the sixth chapter of Matthew 24 through 34, those 10 verses, is he's trying to rip you and I away from our reliance upon earthly things and a reliance upon not even heavenly things, but a reliance upon God himself. On God himself. Over and over again, what does he say? He says, look to the beauty that is in nature all around. First, he says, look at the birds. As we were coming in here, as we were passing through the canyon right there, we saw all those sparrows just flocking in and out and going there, and don't know what they were doing or what they found, probably some food that was some insects that were flying through there, and they were having a feast upon them. But they don't process anything. They don't go out there and make sure that they have the T&D to be able to go to or the storehouses which are there. They don't do any of that. And yet, they seem to go forward and multiply. Our Father in heaven knows everything about them and cares for them because he made them. And so he's loved them into existence. He says, not a single one of these falls from the nest without our Heavenly Father realizing and caring for it and understanding it and seeing what the end of this creature is because he crafted it and all it is. And so why do you and I worry about things? Our Lord says, do you not know that you are worth many sparrows? And that was a truth that the people at that time would have grasped. But at the same time, a lot of people don't feel like they're worth even a single sparrow. Maybe some of us coming in here today don't feel like we're worth a single sparrow either because we're locked in some sort of depression. Am I really being cared for by God? Am I even worth a sparrow? At least the sparrow gets to fly there and doesn't have the concerns, the difficulties, the hardships. The sparrow doesn't worry about death. But I do. So maybe there's something wrong with me. Our Lord goes further and says, even beyond that, you're worried about what you're going to eat. You're worried about what you're going to drink. You're worried about what you're going to be dressed in. says, well, look at the flowers of the field. As beautiful as they are, when you go through that little area down here as we're going through the Pecos, and you see all those beautiful sunflowers that are there that are particular to our region here, when you see that these beautiful wildflowers just sort of crop up in the middle of nowhere, and you go, wow, that is worth my attention, and just to gaze upon the beauty which is there. Or see those fields which are nourished by the Pecos which are here, and how they spring up at a particular time, and at a single moment of the least bit of drop of rain, how much that makes a difference. Instantly, everything turns green. It soaks it up so quickly. And yet all those things, they're beauty today, but tomorrow, they're fodder for fire. He says, not even the richest, most elegant person is arrayed as such as the wildflowers are. And yet you're worth more than the flowers of the field. You're worth more even than the splendor of Solomon. He says, don't worry about these things. Don't worry about these things. What does any of those things matter? Who, by a single hour of worrying, can add even a minute to their lives? You don't, right? When you give yourself to worrying, it steals life from you. Because those are hours of your life you're never going to get back. And your worry doesn't change anything. As much as you and I worry about things, I'm not going to point anybody out, but there's certain people here, you're not going to turn any of those black hair, white hairs black. And as much as I'm worrying about things, I'm not going to turn any of these red or brown or whatever color, red sort of hairs on my beard. None of them are going to turn white, like I would rather have. Can't change any of those things. And not a single one of us, by just willing it into existence and hoping and believing, it's particularly present for our young one who is here, you're not going to add an inch to your height. Not by just willing it to existence. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows when we need it. And He's willing to provide it. And He just says, trust me even in the midst of difficulties. Trust me even in the midst of the hardship that you have. Trust me even in the lack of rain. That I care for you and your soul more. Prosperity in this life is not what we should be seeking. Although we can thank God for it when we do have it. But ultimately, this life isn't what you and I are made for. And that's what experiencing what our sister Diana had over these past few weeks of care with you, the sacraments which she received well, and as frequently as you were so careful to bring them to her and call for them to be brought. That the things of this life indeed remain in this life. But the things that are eternal are the only things that we get to carry from this life, which is the friendships that we have, the good that we do to others, the life that is well-lived, and especially the only thing that makes us endure through this life is that relationship with God. Have we made good on that? Have we entrusted ourselves to Him? As we know at the last judgment, the Lord speaks about it, and our faith has always taught it to us since the very earliest ages. It is though so that all of justice may be fulfilled, meaning you see injustice within this life. Why is it that somebody who's doing terrible things prospers? All these people who are doing great things get nothing but harm or difficulty within their lives. How does that make sense? Is that just? It doesn't look just from your eyes, and it doesn't look just from mine either. I'm not going to tell you that it is. But so that the fullness of justice is there, what God does in the last judgment is He allows it so as to speak that we all go to a massive drive-in movie. And we're there before the screen. And our Lord God will play out all of human history. Not just on the great swaths of things, but on the small level. What was going on in the Sanchez life? What happened to make Veronica who she is? What are the things that Veronica did that made others who they are and affected them in little ways? What was the value of that smile that she gave to that poor person on the corner when she didn't have anything to give him, didn't honestly have anything, and just made a loving gesture toward him? How far did that go? What did that change about that one? Or the time when somebody did something which was not so Christ-like, when someone was cheated. How far did that evil go? And what did that do? And so that you and I can look back at all eternity and see, wow, that's what God's justice really is. Huh. Those are the moments when I should have been hit. Those are the moments when I ran that stop sign at that time, when I should have got smacked. But God slowed somebody down in some way so that they didn't end up in that situation either. When He caused me to hesitate in some sort of way when I was being stupid, and, well, that allowed somebody else to receive something that they needed, whether it was a correction or a blessing. You and I can't see it from our perspective. But our Heavenly Father can, from all directions, know the full weight of everything. And so your job and mine isn't to figure out why things are happening, or to try to plumb the depths of God Himself, because we can't. If you want to know more about how we can't, read one of the greatest testaments in all of human history to speak about that, the book of Job. All the things that he went through, and he thought, as holy a man as he was, he eventually spoke against God in some ways, and then God smacked him down, put him in his place. He said, Were you there when I raised up the mountains from the sea? Were you there when I formed the depths of the ocean? Were you there when I sent the great sea monsters into the deep and told the limits of the ocean where, how far could you go and how far could you not? Were you the one who was consulted on these things? And then he began to realize how small he was and how great God is and how much even just the smallest little grace was more than he deserved for his least sin. So you and I, your job and mine is just to realize the truth. Each of us is made in the very image and likeness of God. Not one of us is not made in that way. And because he chose to craft you and I in his very image and likeness means that he has a stake in who we are. He wills your good. And sometimes, just as you who are parents, know that willing the good of your children means you got to will the bad of their backside. What about God? We refer to him as a way at which those who've gone before us would have cringed to hear those words, would have strung you up, would have stoned you, if you would have referred to him as the way we refer to him in this Mass and each and every time we pray. It is the privilege of every Catholic to call God what, Fabian? What was that? Okay. Mr. Viesca couldn't hear that. He's sort of though. What can you call him?
Father.
That's right. Father. You and I can call God Father. And that is a radical grace. The Jews thought that that was inappropriate. And that's why they killed Christ. He said he dared to call God his father. Abraham is our father as people, but God himself? No, that's not the way it works. He's the father of the nation, but not the father of the individual. The Muslims, even to this day, of all the 100 or so names that they have for their God, Allah, not a single one of them is father. They believe that they're the slaves of Allah. And so that is why they kill Christians, for that and other things which they think to be blasphemies. But you and I know that we have a relationship with God, for he cares for us. We're not his little peons, his slaves, that he's able to crush in a moment, which is what they believe. God does not will the crushing of any soul. And when he wounds, as the scripture says, it's only so that he may later on bind up and heal all the more. He knows. He knows what you and I need even before we ask it, and yet what does he do? He says, ask for it. Trust me. Stay with me. I will your good even beyond where you can see in the present moment. And so that's what our Lord is asking you and I to do. So whatever sorrows or troubles or difficulties that you brought here when you came and made this pilgrimage out here to Borica today, whatever those things that are pulling at your heart, nagging you, saying, this is an impossible thing. I've actually given up hope in thinking that some good will come out of this situation or that in some way that I can see joy because I've had so many hardships in here. That's not the way God wishes you to live. He wills your ultimate good, which is for you to be with him for all eternity. And what's the price of admission to heaven? It's trust in God. It is obedience to his commandments. And he says, even if you struggle with that, so long as you don't give up and you stay with me and you stay with my church, I'll make sure it happens. Just don't stop. Just don't give up. Don't give in to worry and think that it all depends on you or it all depends on this moment. He says, remember, it all depends on me and I will your good. And so as we prepare to put all these cares and sorrows and distresses and difficulties within the arms of God here in this Mass, which is what we do, allow yourself to release that and say, okay, God, you do it. I don't get it at all. But you will my good, and I want to trust that you do will my good. So help lead me just a little bit more, O God, who is my kindly light. That's all our Lord asks of you and me. So even as we're begging for rain now, I don't know what's going to come. And I realize that I can't do anything about it except for pray and trust God and trust that even beyond what I can see in my little pea brain mind and my short-sightedness, that he knows what he's about, especially when I don't have a clue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.